We are in a series of sermons on the Apostles' Creed, that creed that solidifies that Amy and I are both old because we have trouble leading it with some of the words that we have updated in it. And we say that as a part of our worship because we join the church past and the church future with the church present by testifying publicly what we believe as we worship. And we've been walking through phrase by phrase this great creed of the church. And our trouble when we change some of the words that trips us all up, and I see you all laughing when I'm trying to lead the Apostles' Creed and I mess up too, so I know you're feeling our pain, is that the words really are important. They have deep meaning. And this morning we're looking at the communion of the saints. And for most of us, in our minds, when we hear the word communion, we think of what happens at this table right here. It's a table that was custom built. If you notice, it mirrors the stained glass. It's only about 12 years old. It was a little controversial, to be honest with you, 12 years ago when we placed this communion table. I know those of you who have spent a lot of time in church may find that hard to believe, that anything was controversial in a church when you try and change it. But for nearly three decades, we had a communion table that, I kid you not, was about the size of an aircraft carrier. That was a big honking table. But we become attached to things, particularly things that have meaning. Communion has meaning for us. And in our minds, we go to communion, coming forward and taking bread and juice and remembering what Jesus has done for us. And something happens that we can't quite explain with our finite minds, that God's Spirit meets us in that very simple meal. And we're nourished by it. And we have unity with Christ. And when we say together every week in worship, I believe in the communion of the saints, we're not saying I believe in this table. But we are saying that I believe it is integral to our faith and our understanding of God and what God has done for us in Jesus, that one of the things that happens at this table when we come together is important. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Our text comes from Hebrews. We'll begin in chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. We will skip about 37 verses and pick back up at verse 39 and conclude in chapter 12, verse 3. As we turn to Hebrews, join me as we pray. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to gather in worship. We're grateful for the meaning that is attached to our gathering. We're grateful for the meaning of communion and a table where we come. And we're grateful for your word. May your Spirit be at work in us, giving our hearts fertile soil for your word to take deep root in us. And my prayer is that in these next few moments, the loudest voice in this room might be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to your people. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Now, I said we're going to skip 30-some verses. In those verses we skip, which I hope you'll go back and look at later today or this week, the story of the Old Testament is concisely retold. 16 individuals are mentioned, as are the people of Israel and the prophets. And how, as they lived out their call that God placed on their lives before Christ was born, were faithful to God's call. Picking up in 39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sixteen names of individuals, men and women, who faithfully lived for God and hoped for a promise to be fulfilled. The author of Hebrews says in our text today, though they were faithful and they're commended for their faith, they never saw that promise in their lifetime. And the promise is eternal life through the forgiveness of their sins. They lived in a time where they were called in order to make their sin right with God, to bring sacrifices. And they were ever mindful that those sacrifices never fully did the job, because they had to keep bringing them. Week after week, month after month, year after year. But they kept doing it. And they believed the promise. And were faithful. When we talk about the communion of the saints, I think it's helpful to think about it in three movements. First and foremost, as with anything we do, it has to start with Jesus. It has to start with Jesus. And we are united because that's what communion does. It unites us. When we come forward with the bread and the wine, we're uniting with Christ. And because of Jesus, we can be united with God. God loved us and wanted a relationship with those he created in his image. And it was really hard for those created in his image to not choose their own way. And there was nothing that they could do, those commended for their faith, or we could do today, or those who will come after us can do, to fix the fact that we choose our own way. So God said, I'll fix it. and in the person of Christ left the throne of heaven and was born and put on this flesh and lived choosing God's way, died for us, and the true power of God was shown that death could not overcome Jesus, and he rose again. And because of that, we have the opportunity to say, I believe Jesus is who he said he was. He did what Scripture tells us he did, and I trust him and him alone for the forgiveness of my sin, my choosing my own way rather than God's way. And that puts us in a right relationship with God. See, when God looks at us, he doesn't see somebody who chose their own way this week, because when we confess our sin and God looks at us, he sees Jesus. Justification. It's a churchy word for saying God sees what Jesus did for us when we claim Jesus as ours. And as Amy said, we're all saints. Thank you for not laughing when she said that. Because we are. Because when we say, I believe in the communion of the saints, we're saying, I believe in the unity of the people who God is making holy through Jesus. That's another churchy word. It's called sanctification. And it means that God's Spirit is doing this work in us every day, helping us become more like Jesus, the one who is holy. And Jesus says, come on, you're my saints now. But we have unity with God because of Jesus. That's the first thing that I think it's important to understand that we're saying when we say, I believe in the communion of the saints. Because if we don't have that, we can't participate in the next two movements, which is we have communion, we have unity with those who've gone before us, those 16 people that were named by the author of Hebrews, saints, the nation of Israel that God shepherded and loved, and the prophets. But we're in union with every believer of Christ who has passed from this life and now waits in the presence of God for Christ's return and to be raised back to life. We're connected to those people whose faithful lives and faithful words and faithful actions have helped lead us through the work of the Holy Spirit to know Jesus and to be considered by God a saint. Part of the reason that there's such deep meaning for people in communion tables and baptismal fonts, certain seats in those pews, certain places on our campus, is because people who faithfully lived as Jesus' people, imperfect as they were, but faithful in their desire to know Jesus and to make Jesus known, had impacts on other people's faith and faith journeys. And those connections aren't lost just because, and I'll give you another churchy word, they're in the church triumphant. They may be interred in a wall just on the other side of this wall right here in our columbarium. And their urn, their ashes are there, but their spirits and their souls left indelible imprints because of their faith on countless people in this room. And when we say, standing with the church today, yesterday, and tomorrow, I believe in the communion of the saints, we're saying, I'm in union, I'm in unity with those people that went before, who knew Jesus, who loved Jesus, who lived Jesus, and who the Holy Spirit used to help me know Jesus. And that's powerful. And it means something. We have unity with God through Jesus. It's the basis of everything we do as a follower of Christ. And there's deep meaning that we have unity with those believers who went before us, who were faithful, and whose faith the Holy Spirit used to help us come to know Jesus. That's not a throwaway line. And the third thing that we say when we say, I believe in the communion of the saints, is that we believe that we're united together. Those of us in this room, those people within our community who know Jesus, those people in our country who know Jesus, those people in our world that know Jesus, we say, I'm in unity with them. Not because we see everything the same way. Because we don't. Probably don't have to tell you that. But we don't. But we are united with one another because Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And they're no long rangers in the practicing of our faith. We often, I think, you know, it'd be a lot easier because other people have this annoying habit of kind of like calling us on stuff. And other people have this ability that as we bounce off them, they bounce off us. And it's called sin, and we hurt each other and we offend each other. But it doesn't matter what differences we have. If we're in Christ, we have the one thing that tethers us together, and that's Christ. So there's one thing that we can all speak with one voice on, and that's Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one who's the pioneer truly and perfecter of our faith truly, and he's the one that sets us right with God. And because of that, we have something we can all agree on. Jesus. It's called unity, having something you can agree on. So when we stand together to say, I believe in the communion of the saints, We're not just saying another word so that we can get to the meet and greet. What we're saying is, I'm not in this alone. I am a follower of Jesus, united with God because of what He did for me, and I stand with the people who came before me, whose faithful journey helped me see Jesus as God's Spirit was at work in me. And I stand to say I believe in the communion of the saints, shoulder to shoulder with other people who I am united with because Jesus is their Lord and Jesus is my Lord. And I might not vote the way they vote. I might not cheer for the same team they cheer for. I might have rather had red carpet than blue carpet. But that doesn't matter, because what matters is we both know Jesus. And because of that, we can throw off the sin that entangles us. Because Jesus has said, I can free you from that. And in doing so, I free you to be united. As Jesus prayed for his disciples as he went to the cross, he didn't pray that they would all see everything eye to eye, but he prayed that they would be united, that they might be one. We live in a fractured world. All you have to do is watch the news for the first 5 minutes, and that's evident. And there are people who would like to continue to fracture our world. But as followers of Christ, we can demonstrate to the world that there is still unity out there. There's unity in Christ because Christ is our Lord and our Savior. May it be said of us one day, they were one because of the one Christ. I believe in the communion of the saints, and I am united with believers past, present, and future because Jesus has the power to forgive our sins, the power to give us new life. And thanks be to God, I stand before and among a group of saints, people far from imperfect, but people whom God is doing a good work in, making us all holy. Thanks be to God. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful that in Christ Jesus you love us, you forgive us, you empower us for unity in Him and in Him alone. And we are grateful for those who have gone before, for their faithfulness in good times, for faithfulness in times which were struggles, and for how their faithful journey was used by the Holy Spirit of the living God to work in human hearts so that others might come to know and profess Jesus as Lord. And I'm grateful, Father, for my fellow saints, these brothers and sisters who we do life with, both here in our church, in our community, and around the world. Father, may we remember the one thing that unifies us, the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And may we, with enthusiasm, when we profess what we believe, say, I believe in the communion of the saints. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.